it's working, Adi?
Yes, we're good.
Okay. All right. So just for the record, just for the vocal record, it is Thursday. It is the 11th of May. And I'm just going to read down the list of participants that we have because we can see it in the Zoom recording, but not in the verbal one. So we've got myself, Cody Case. We've got Alokio Alejandre here, Adi Moreno, Phil Shumway, Jesse Hyatt's also joined us. We've got Brian Cates, Omar Gosain, and Yvonne Medina, just for the record. And tonight, we are just kind of on a shortened list or a shortened schedule. We do not have a quorum, and so we are going to do some virtual voting, and then we'll ratify those in June. And so for those that are checking the minutes afterwards, look for a Google form that comes to your email so that you can read past minutes and read some other issues that we have going on and then cast your vote that way, and we will have those read in June at our board meeting then. And so basically tonight we'll start with Brian, and he'll give us his financial report, and then we'll go to Alokio and he will give us his principal's report, and that's pretty much the night. So.
Okay, sounds good. As far as my report goes, I want to touch on a couple of different things that I usually touch on. Then we'll touch on a couple things that are more annual. Let me share my screen here. Okay, so you should be able to see the PTIF. This continues to perform well. We did put in additional funds last month, just over $7,400 reinvestment in the month of April. So that's great. It should continue to perform well. And we're projecting that, or we're planning on that performance next year, is going into next year as well. As far as our budget summary goes, as of in the end of April, we are 83% through the fiscal year, so just a couple months left in the fiscal year, projecting about 5.2% operating margin currently. That equates to about $317,000 projected net income. Obviously, the last couple months, we'll have a few more adjustments in some of our line items, but that's what we're projecting now. Cash balance is good. We're seeing typical trends that we do this time of year, but it's holding overall pretty steady. And then on enrollment side of things, as of the end of April, we are at 536. So again, very, very, very little movement there, which is normally what we see. As far as budget for next year, as you all know, we've been working diligently on putting together a budget for next year that works. As you all know, and as we've talked about, state funding for next year is very favorable. There are a lot of questions still around what exactly that the increase in funding will be. As we've talked about previously, there are at this point, what I would call rumors of a larger increase, up to potentially 14-15%, as opposed to the 6% that we heard. Most, in discussions with Alokio and most other charters that I've heard of, we budget off of currently budgeting off the legislative estimates that the state sent out. Which is based off of a 6% WPU increase. So building a budget around that, and then obviously if there's additional funds that come through, if some of these rumors turn out to be true, then that's great, right? I mean, we'll take those additional funds, and then, after the new fiscal year begins, if we want to include additional expenses into our cost structure, we can do that. We're hoping to get more clarity on that tomorrow. Tomorrow all day is the state finance training that the state puts on. A lot of us are hoping that there's some of those things cleared up So we'll see. As for right now, you can see by category here where we stand as far as our budget goes. So total budget, total forecast is forecast this year, and then over here in bold is our next year projection. So overall state revenue is increasing about by $361,000. Most of that, as I mentioned, is in state revenue increase. We have a slight increase in federal revenue simply because we have about $500,000 in ESSER funds that we need to spend down next year. So from next year to the following year, to FY25, we'll see a significant drop in our federal revenue simply because we will have expended our ESSER funds, which, as everybody knows, are the COVID-related funds. On one hand, it's been really nice to, you know, have those funds, but on the other hand, it'll be very nice that they are no longer there, just to, you know, move on from those, both administratively and in every other way as well, put COVID behind us completely. So as far as the cost structure goes, you can see we have a significant increase mainly in our 100s. So as we all know, there's, you know, increase to the salary structure, but there's also increase relative to a couple of House bills that were passed, mostly in the educator salary adjustment line item. So that equates to about 15% of our increase, or in the increase of the 100s. Obviously, as you can see, the largest dollar figure increase overall in our expenditures. So overall, about a $438,000 increase. Currently, we're forecasting about $240,000. That equates to about approximately 3.7% operating margin. So that's the leanest, operating margin that we've forecasted or budgeted for a following year. Typically, we do see a little bit of a bump in our state revenue simply based on our October 1 count. We're budgeting off of 525. Typically, we're a little bit above that. So, and then of course, there's the aforementioned, you know, rumored state revenue increases that may or may not come through. So, but in any case, 3.7% is what we're planning there. And, you know, it doesn't leave quite as much wiggle room as we have seen in the past or as we've had in the past, but we'll just need to continue what we do and just monitor on a month-to-month basis to make sure that we're keeping those margins. Any questions up to this point? Okay. Phil or Lokio, did I miss anything from our discussions in the finance meeting?
No, that summarizes it. I don't know, Phil, do you think, was there anything else?
No, I think pretty much tells the tale.
Okay.
PTIF transfer was made.
What's that?
The PTIF transfer was made.
Yeah, that was done.
Between last month and this month?
$417,000, $200,000 was the last one. I'm going to go ahead and touch on the fraud risk assessment because I can see it there in as a discussion item. We did review that and complete that in our finance meeting. We are at the same score as last year. This is the assessment from last year. Only item that was in question was this number 4: our employees and elected officials required to annually commit in writing to abide by a statement of ethical behavior. Alohu and Phil, we all talked about it and decided, well, from their memory, this was not completed. So we're going to leave it as is, but I would definitely recommend that the board put this in place going forward. And like I said, with the check marks that we have here, it gives us a score of 335, which puts us solidly in the low risk level here, which I think is totally fine. We've submitted these for the past 3 years with a similar score, and I haven't heard anything. So,
tell me exactly what that would mean, Brian.
What would mean?
What would the board need to do for that? That's item three, right?
Yeah, just having a statement of ethical behavior, just some sort of, you know, whether it's digital or, you know, just reading something and stating officially and documenting that they've, you know, it says commit in writing. So, I mean, it's pretty specific, you know, whether it's a form that they sign and then somebody just, you know, documents that it was done, and then it says on an annual basis. So what that statement says would be up to the board. I mean, this says employees and elected officials. So it's a question of, you know, is there something maybe included in employee agreements and then some sort of document for elected officials, meaning, you know, obviously board members. We're not, they're not elected, but, you know, they're appointed, in our case. So, just, you know, I don't think there's anything, it's just statement of ethical behavior. I mean, you could Google it and I think, and probably find something suitable. You know, you could always, you know, reach out to other charter schools and see what they have in place. I haven't seen anything personally, but.
Is this ethical behavior just in general, or is this specific to finance, or what is this specific to?
I think it's just in general.
In general.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't think it needs to be anything, you know, extremely robust. I think if you have a statement of ethical behavior, they're not specifying that it has to do with anything specific here. So I think if you just have a general one that's suitable to charter schools, you know, that would work.
Don't teachers sign a testing ethics behavior form every year?
You know what? I don't recall if we have it yet on the handbook. They do have a handbook, and I'm not recalling right now. Ada, you don't recall having it?
Or even if there's something similar, something.
I kind of want to say we do. I'm actually here at the school. Let me see if.
I thought to give the rise you had to, but. Maybe not.
I know that in our testing training, we had teachers sign that.
Did we?
Yeah, and I have them, or I scan them.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of want to say we do. I don't know why I feel we have, but I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, and this can be, you know, like I said, it can be because... There, you know, it's not spelled out as far as what exactly it needs to be. I would think, you know, maybe it could be something that, you know, in the case of a teacher, you know, if it's a handbook and they've signed that they've accepted it or received it, that would be sufficient. And then,
so I have a document here in front of me. It's a code of conduct staff member acknowledgement.
Yeah, and I think if I remember correctly, last year when we talked about doing this, it seemed like the question was more around board members having something like this because employees already had something.
Yeah, we do have something, yes.
Yeah, because this, I can read this to you. I received training about the requirements of Esperanza Elementary School Code of Conduct Policy. I understand the requirements of the policy and that I am responsible to recognize and maintain appropriate personal boundaries while interacting with students. I also understand that if I have reason to believe a staff member is violating the code of conduct, I will report my suspicions to Elogio Alejandre in writing too.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay. That is perfect.
So yeah, then yeah. They all signed this, yes.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, and so I think my memory is, I think how I'm remembering is right. This was more, we were talking more about just for board members.
Yeah. I think you're right.
So something similar to that, Cody.
But it does say annual, right?
Yep.
And the only thing we've done in the past are, we've done, what was it? We had to sign a, I'm trying to think what it was. It wasn't a code of conduct. It was like a conflict of interest form.
Yeah, that's a different. So
that's
you can
a different
see
one.
Up here on letter A, that's a different policy.
Well, and maybe we could combine this with some type of record for when we get training and just we pull it out of a book and then the board member in September signs that form, and then they just initial when they've gotten their training, and then we have documents of everything.
Yeah, I think that would be fine too. And honestly, you know, chances of somebody coming back and saying, well, you checked yes on this, show us. And if you do show them, you know, they're not going to say, no, that's not right. I mean, if it's what you thought was a statement of ethical behavior, then that's what it is, right? If they want something specific, they would come out and say it. So I think that would work.
Okay, perfect.
I'm going to leave this as is. You know, maybe next year when we do this, we can check that. I think, you know, that's to Alohio's point during our finance meeting, I think that's the right thing to do. Alohio, I'll send over the new one that I have for this year over. I'll send that via sign now to you for your digital signature, and then I'll keep it on file and submit it when it's due in December.
Okay.
Other questions? Okay, so next month, we'll need to make sure that, so really quick, just so I know, in the past, there's, instead of a board meeting that we've had, it's a strategic meeting as opposed to a board meeting. Looks like it's 23rd to the 25th.
We do both.
Yeah.
Okay. But you do it in person at the off-site, right?
That's right.
Okay. So in that case, we'll have our finance meeting, and then let's see.
And that's when we approve the budget for the new year, correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. So the next finance meeting, so you all are meeting 23rd through the 25th, the finance meeting that I show Alohio is June 8th at our regular time. Does that work for our finance meeting?
That worked for me.
Okay. So at that meeting, just like last year, we'll have a final, you know, budget, and then that will need to be, we'll need to have agenda items to approve the final budget for FY23 and then the preliminary budget for FY24. To approve both those budgets by vote at the June meeting. So
tell me those two again, just so they're in the minutes.
Yeah, so we need two agenda items to approve the final FY23 budget and then the preliminary FY24 budget. And the detail that I sent is also uploaded to the drive. I'm just going to share my screen again really quick. So the detail that's sent along this forecast column is going to be our final FY23 budget. So that's the current year forecast. And then this bolded column over here, next year budget, is going to be our preliminary FY24 budget, or, you know, the budget for FY24 that's going to be approved. So both of those need to be on the agenda as next month for.
Okay, and those are final. Those are ready to go now.
We may have some additional tweaks after we get the May actuals, but and then in the finance meeting in June is when we'll finalize that. But there's, you know, a couple of weeks between that meeting and the board meeting, so we'll have time.
Okay. Just that, let me know, because that way I'd like to print them and take them. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Just so everybody knows, Shalene Nuvan has joined us.
Excellent.
Hello.
Let me add her to the list.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Pass it back to you, Cody. Thanks.
There's one more thing about finance, and that would be that when we meet in June, just any adjustments that are or are not made to the salary table schedules, just that we can look at that as well after the state pieces have come in.
Cody, just so you know, that there were no any changes made. So what we did is we were signing agreements with what you approved, plus the $4,200 the legislative stipend they gave. So we
and that was a 1 year stipend, right?
That's correct. And then, from what I understand, they'll make it permanent, but that will be next year. And so at that point, we can talk about if we want to combine the two or just keep it as an addition, as a stipend.
Okay. And that's what I thought we were doing. I just wanted to make sure to see it. So
no changes made. There were no changes made.
Okay. Let's look at the director's report then.
Can you all see my presentation?
Yes, we can see.
Yes.
Celebrations,
I think we have many. I don't know if anyone wants to share, but I'll just share a couple. We completed, and I'll mention them again in a minute, but we completed our Cadence reading. And this is the first time that we finished with a little bit of wiggle room between what's required and what we get. So usually we're looking at every student until the last second. And this year, thanks to the addition of the kindergarten class, we are 63%+, and we still have a few kids, which will make us about 65% proficient in Acadian's reading. So that's a big celebration. Another celebration is Acadian's math. This is the first time that the state requires it, and they do require a 60%. And we're at 67% proficiency. So we're those are two celebrations that I just wanted to highlight. There are many other things, but I think those two are worth mentioning. Anyone else want to share any celebrations, the vice principals or Jesse, anyone?
I do. I was just going to add to the Cadence celebration at the beginning of the year. We got an email from the state that we were at 20%. So we made a huge growth in that, in Cadence math.
I think that letter came in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were, every year we get a letter in the after the MOE, the middle of the year test, because usually we're a little bit below at that time. But we have a system in place for tutoring in March and April. And we look at those kids that are in the middle or that are almost passing. We focus on them. And every year we've been able to meet our state requires 60% since the beginning, since we opened, except for the second year we were open. That's when we did not meet it. But after that, for the last, 7 years straight, we have met the 60%. Mark. So we're, and yes, people worry about us at the state and they say, you know, you're below the 60% average or the requirement, that is 60% requirement. But we have a system in place that starts at the beginning of March, and we know that we will meet the requirement every year. We also finished the nutrition audit. There were no findings. A report is coming. There were a few things that we needed to change. We were using a poster that we printed from the computer. They require us to use the original poster that the nutrition program at the federal level sends to us, and that is on its way. And a few other minor little things that there were not any big things at all. We had our college career readiness parent training. Do we know exactly how many families showed up? I think it was 40. Mr. Gosain, do you recall?
Yeah, do we have a good, around 30-something, like 30, 35, I would say.
35 families that showed up, and so we were happy to see all those happy faces.
Yep.
And here's the testing update that I was talking to you about. There is the 95% complete Acadians reading, and we're about a 63%, but we think it's going to be a little bit above that. There's the Acadians math. That is actually for first through third. Is that correct, Yvonne?
Yes.
First through third, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, I have second there, but it is first through third. Rice Science is 95% complete. We are at 36% proficient. Last year we were at 37%, and we still think we can get to 37%, but it's going to be a little difficult because there's only 7 kids left, and we need 2 more kids to pass in order for us to get the 37, which is last year's number. And just so you know, for the state, the Latino-Hispanic subgroup, it is at 23%. So we are above it either way, but we would like to definitely get to 37% again, and we hope that at least 2 of the 7 remaining students reach proficiency. And we should be done early next week with that. RISE math has not begun. We are beginning on Monday. Is that right, Mr. Gosain?
That's correct. Okay, Monday and we have high expectations for math.
Okay, high expectations. We are expecting to reach 40% proficiency. We've been working on it, and some of the teachers that are a little bit low in science and possibly in language arts, their expertise are in math, so we hope that we reach 40% proficiency. I skipped one. English, we are not finished yet. We're at 27% proficiency. Last year was 28.6 or whatever. We are right behind that right now, but I think that we will surpass that this year. We're keeping our fingers crossed. We're only at 60%, so it can still go up or down, but we're hopeful. Tomorrow there's going to be a big, huge number that will finish tomorrow, and so we hope to get a better idea where we are tomorrow.
Yeah, but this time is going to be solid what we got in language arts. So
yep, that's right.
We have yep.
Spanish IDEL, we're at 39% proficiency, and we were actually hoping for better than that, I think it's just too much testing at the end of the year. They get tired. So we're at 39% now, and I think that's going to be pretty much the number. I'm not sure that we can go up to 40. And then the Apple. This is back in November, and we reported this to you before, where we were at 52% proficiency on the Apple Spanish test. Oh. We can't approve this, but this is just to let you know that there is a PhD student from the University of Utah doing some research on where the kids are now, our students, previous students, and she wanted to add an addendum to her research study. And so this is the addendum that she added. She ran it, the idea passed Juan, and Juan thought that it was a good idea to include the group now in the school. So she just wanted me to bring that to your attention. And she did want me to mention that she had spoken to Juan already, and so we'll see if what Juan tells us when we meet in June. Enrollment is steady. There are no changes in the last month. re-enrollment is pretty much finished. We're at 539 for next year. 525 is our number, as you will recall. We expect a few kids to drop off, but we have a waiting list already in place. And there are several kindergarten students that are ready to come in at any time. We can have as many as 90. We have 78 right now. That's where we like to add new kids, kinder or first grade, so that they can start together with the new cohort. The strategic planning meeting is at the Hampton Inn in Ogden, 2401 Washington Boulevard. We were going to have it at the Garden Inn, which is just a half a block away. They ran out of rooms, and so we had to move it half a block, and they were almost out of rooms. And the Marriott, which is on the other side of this hotel, was out of rooms, so I needed to quickly make a decision to change it to this hotel as quickly as we could. It's a little bit cheaper than the other one. They do have the breakfast buffet as well, so we'll see how that works. And the restaurant where we usually eat is less than a half a block away, so we can walk over after when we need to eat. And there it is again. There is nothing else. There are no other meetings planned between now and then. I did send you, I'm going to stop the sharing. I did send you an email. I don't know if you got it. With the details of the strategic planning meeting. We need to know who's coming as quickly as possible so that we can invite staff if we have slots available. So board members need to let me know fairly quickly.
I will add it to the Google form.
Yes, please. I think other than any questions you have, that is one of the things that Cody and I have been talking about is adding board members, because we need to have at least seven, and with Phil on his way out, we need to add at least two board members very quickly. Phil has agreed to join us on Friday the 23rd of June, so that he can be with us one last time. And so...
In person.
In person. Yeah, this time it'll be in person. Questions?
See none. I'll turn it back to you, Cody.
Yay, crickets. Well, if there isn't anything else, then we'll let you have a nice, happy night. Quickest meeting ever is 6:37.
It is. Hey, Cody. Thank you all very much.
Cody,
I'll see you tomorrow. Cody, we'll talk soon. And Phil, we'll talk soon too.
All right. Cody, I'll send you something on ethical behavior, if you like that.
Okay, wonderful.
All right. Okay.
All right, thank you guys. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye.